Hello again, this is Rabbi Jeff Sachs of Atid and Web Yeshiva with the final installment of this semester's series on the Rambam's Shmona Prokim. We will be continuing next semester. We'll pick up exactly where we're going to leave off tonight. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to finish the chapter that we're in now, and you'll be left hanging until we meet again, and we'll pick up exactly where we left off. But the programming, the station has moved our slot from Thursday night to Tuesday night. So instead of meeting at Thursday night at 9 p.m. Jerusalem time, we're going to be meeting on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Jerusalem time. So please, we hope you can join us live. And if not, wherever it is that you may be, and if not, through the archives, but we'll continue from where we left off. Okay, we're in the middle of the fourth chapter of the Rambam's Shmona Prakim, which, as we saw last time, is very much parallel to the Rambam's Hilchot Deot, to the first chapter in the Rambam's Hilchot Deot. And last time we spent a bit of time reviewing that, reviewing what we've been up to by looking at his formulation of the same ideas or similar ideas in Hilchot Deot, which I think I've mentioned the best translation of Hilchot Deot, although not literal, is the Rambam's laws of personality development. Personality development. The Rambam had said, just, you know, by quick way of review, again, here you go, here's the blackboard, or the whiteboard, as it were. The Rambam had said that all personality traits, what he calls either midot or deot, are really points on a continuum. And if this is the midpoint between any two extremes, one needs to aim for the middle, not as a type of compromise, but as a type of ideal, And I mean, it might be better to think of the graph as a, you know, as a type of curve. I don't know whether a bell curve or a different type of curve, where the middle is the pinnacle. It's superior, and we're aiming for the middle. Not to be extremist in anything that we do, to be moderate between all different personality traits. And we spent some time last week discussing what does it mean to build a conglomerate of personality traits. After all, we're not made up exactly of tiny little puzzle pieces. The human personality is much more complex than that. So that somebody that tends to have problems on one personality trait, it usually manifests itself in other areas as well. So for the Rambam, and again, this is just by a quick way of review, and we've discussed this at some length, for the Rambam, the middle path, the Derech HaYishara, the straight path, the golden mean, this is the way to go. He did say, however, that occasionally one or the other extremes has a very strong pull on any particular individual. Just like, and it doesn't really matter whether we take the behavioralistic point of view and think that, you know, sometimes a person develops a bad habit. And maybe like we say, let's take a case of alcohol. It doesn't matter whether a person's developed an indulgence in alcohol, either through habit, or like some have suggested, that there are people that have a genetic disposition to alcoholism. Pardon me one second.
Lonnie, please close the door.
Yes. Or whether somebody has a genetic disposition towards alcoholism. Somebody who is an alcoholic has to be very careful. And like they say in those 12-step programs, you know, you're never cured. You know, you're once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, and you have to be very, very careful. You're never a recovered alcoholic. You're a recovering alcoholic, and you can't say, "Well, I'll just have a little bit." There's no such thing. You have to be an extra, even though the Torah, even the Jewish point of view is, as we'll discuss in a few moments as we move along, is that moderation is fine. We're not ascetic. We don't believe that alcohol is a sin. We believe that everything in moderation is to be enjoyed, as long as in principle it's permitted by the Torah. We'll get into this momentarily. But somebody who has a drinking problem, it's not enough to say he'll be moderate. There are times where you have to make a correction by going to another extreme in order to counterbalance a very large, strong pull on another side. You have to, like the metaphor of the scales or the seesaw, you have to counterbalance to the other side in order to protect yourself from the strong pull of that black hole on the other side. So that it could be, in a case like this, the gravitational pull, the temptation of one side forces you to place a middle elsewhere in order to balance out what's pulling you in another direction. Okay. Now the Rambam says, V'zeu chok refuot hamidot v'zachreihu. You'd be well served to remember that this is the manner of perfecting yourself. This kind of corrective behavior, which will habituate you to finding the proper midot. Ulezeh ha'inyan lo hayu ha'chasidim manichim tchunot nafshotehem al tchuna hamemutzat b'shaveh. Ela natu netia me'ata el hatosefet v'chisaron. Al derech hasiag. Until now, we've been discussing the trait of chachamim, of wise people. For the Rambam, the perfection of the soul, the perfection of the personality, is with the goal of attaining chokhmah, wisdom. Not knowledge, but wisdom. Because wisdom, the ability to develop your personality as a way of developing your mind, your psyche, in order to open yourself up to be receptive to God's word. At the highest level, one reaches nivuah, prophecy. And for the Rambam, prophecy, to be the recipient of prophecy, which is the apex, it is the aspiration of man and is the sign of the Adam HaShalem, of the perfected man or woman, is a sign that you've perfected your intellect, that your mind is so developed, pure, refined, that it opens up as a receiver, as it were. Go back to the metaphor I described last time of the television receiver, of the radio receiver. You're so in tune that you are receptive to Dvar Hashem, to Nivuah, being broadcast to you. That is the attribute of Chochmah. Now the Rambam introduces the idea of not to be a Chacham, but to be a Chassid. It's important, just parenthetically, of course, to remember, when the Rambam talks about chassidim, he's not talking about you know, what we today call Hasidic ultra-Orthodox Jews, you know, the fellows with the fellows with the long coats. You know. Here you go. These guys. That's not what we're talking about. The Hasidut, modern Hasidut, contemporary Hasidut, which began at the middle to end of the middle to end of the 18th century with the Baal Shem Tov, modern Hasidut is, here's more pictures. Modern Hasidut took the name Hasidut from a notion which had been well developed and discussed earlier by Jewish sources. The Mishnah talks about the Hasidim Harishonim. The Mishnah was written 1,500 years before modern Hasidut began. The idea of the Hasida, a righteous person, a particularly righteous person, the Rambam says, wouldn't merely place his midot in the basket of being in the middle, but would always add a little buffer. Natu netia me'ata. And let's be precise in the words. Me'ata. A little bit. Would add on in order to supplement his personality, as it were. In order to go a little bit extra, a little bit beyond the middle. Al derech hasiag, in order to, in the manner of making a fence, a protective fence. Ritzoni lomar, shehem lemashal, natu min hazihirut el ha'eder hagasha behana ma'at. Even though, again, for better measure, let's say, we're allowed to enjoy the pleasures of the world, they would a little bit diminish their pleasures of the world. Umin hagvura el hamsira l'saknut ma'at. And even though the Rambam had given as one of his examples that there's a balance between being reckless and careless, and on one hand, like you see, I see these. We were someplace that had a cable television. We don't have a TV in the house. You know, not because we're like that, just because it's a big waste of time. But we were someplace that had cable TV, and there was one of these stations on TV. It wasn't even like the wide world of sports, like I remember as a kid. But it was just a show about teenagers doing incredibly stupid things with skateboards. You know, like sliding down the vertical side of a building on a skateboard and crashing and, you know, breaking into 1,000 pieces. So that's just stupidity. That's just recklessness. Even though, you know, we think that sports is very important, and I remember a couple of years ago, this is already quite a few years ago, being at some, it was an NCSY event in the years when I was active in, you know, as a counselor, as an advisor in NCSY. And Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein from Yeshivat Haratzion came. This was in New Jersey. And there was like one of these events where kids were able to ask him questions. So somebody asked him about the Torah's attitude towards sports. So I thought it was very interesting. You know, he always has a very interesting way of looking at things, Rabbi Lichtenstein. Alan, if you can post his bio from the Yeshivat Haaretzion website, that's useful, I think, to people who may not know who Rabbi Lichtenstein is. And he said something like, well, obviously, you know, Judaism believes a healthy body, a healthy mind and a healthy body, and the importance of exercise and, you know, is very important. You know, so that's a kind of standard thing which you'd imagine everybody else to say. But then he spoke about beyond participating in sports, even watching sports has positive value, within limits, of course. You can learn a lot about teamwork and sportsmanship and cooperation and mesirat nefesh even, and, you know, in sports where a single individual excels. You know, the differences between team sports and individual sports. The you know, the potential of a person to excel at something can be inspiring and can have positive religious value. And of course, he was careful to qualify it with qualifiers in terms of how much time can be invested in it, and the problems of, you know, once upon a time, sports figures were almost even moral figures. You know, they were careful to keep their shem tov, to keep their reputations, pretty clean, because they knew that young boys and girls looked up to them. Today, I think that's far less so. On the contrary, but he spoke of that value. So, but these sports where just people just run around, you know, where the sport is who can run into the wall faster, just seems to me to completely ridiculous. So on one hand, there's complete and utter recklessness and no fear for common sense and self-preservation, bodily self-preservation. On the other hand is somebody, you know, the cowardly lion, somebody who's afraid of a splinter, somebody who panics at the thought of putting himself in any kind of danger. And in the middle is gvura. In the middle is gvura, heroism. Heroism isn't somebody that, you know, takes excessive risk. Heroism is somebody that's prepared to face danger, but is yet still interested in preserving himself. That's what heroism, just like we spoke about anava. Anava, humility, doesn't mean that you think you're worthless. On the contrary, humility means you have a very clear sense of self-worth. You know who you are and what your capabilities are. It's the opposite of arrogance, but it's also the opposite in the same way that it's in the midway point between arrogance and a sense of complete self-worth. So the Rambam here points out that Hasidim, they might, you know, tip ever so slightly towards bravery. That if gvura, if heroism is the midpoint between these idiots jumping off buildings and somebody that's afraid of a shadow, a little bit it's okay to err on the side of there's a certain amount of risk that's acceptable in order to be prepared for proper motives and for proper values to endanger yourself, to stand up for the right thing. Umin hadivut el hapazranut ma'at, umin ha'anava el hashifut ruach, etc., etc., etc. That in between the two values, there might be one which is preferable to the other. That if you have to tip in one direction between arrogance and lowliness, better to tip to lowliness. If it's better to tip between giving all your money away and being a Scrooge, well, it's best to be in the middle. But some people add a little bit extra and give a little more. And that's what it's called, lifnim mishuras hadin, going a bit beyond the letter of the law. V'ulam, ma sha'asu hachasidim b'ktzat hazmanim. Now, the Rambam just describes this midat chasidut, this attribute of piety, without praising it or making a statement of its worth. He's merely making a descriptive statement. And he says that chassidim at certain times, and not all, this was a minority position in certain times, So there were certain, at certain times in Jewish history, there were always a minority but there were certain groups that had an ascetic bent to them. And he describes different things. Fasting, of course, beyond the prescribed fasts. Right now we're in the midst of, we were talking about it today in the office, Shovavim. There's a minhag that some people had, people of perhaps of Kabbalistic bent, who would fast during Shovavim. Shovavim, a Shovav, means like a, a troublemaker. Not a scoundrel, but a troublemaker. You know, like in the way that you might describe a kid as a Shovav. Dennis the Menace in Hebrew is called Dani Shovavani. Something like that. A mischievous, correct, thank you. Mischievous is the right word. So Shovavim, or sometimes it's called also Shovavim Tat, is an acronym for the Parshiot of these weeks. Shovavim Shin Shmot Va'era Bo Bishalach Yitro Mishpatim, and some people add on Tat Truma V'Tetzaveh. That during these weeks, you know, in the dead of winter, at the beginning of Parshat Shmot, there's some people that have accustomed to fast Shovavim Tat, during these weeks, to fast during the day, not 24-hour fasts, just sunrise to sunset fasts, which are, you know, it's the shortest time of the year to fast, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. And it was done as a tikkun, as a repair for different mischievous behaviors that youngsters have or might have had when you were young and mischievous. So there were different custom. People would fast different things, to add fasts, to wake up in the middle of the night, to not eat meat, not drink wine, to distance oneself from women, beyond what the Torah requires, obviously, of segregation and separation between the sexes. Beyond that, to wear scratchy woolen clothes, to go off live in the hills, or to have hit bodedut, to be alone in the desert. These types of ascetic qualities, lo asu davar me'ela ela al derech harifua, that when these were done, when these traits were adopted, they were done al derech harifua, for reparative purposes. Not refua in the sense of what we were described, not in the sense that we generally think of real medical reasons. There are all types of medical reasons that somebody might fast. There are all types of medical reasons that somebody might not eat meat or drink wine. But refua of the nefesh, that if you see that you are a glutton, if you see that you are you have certain ta'avot, that you have certain cravings or desires, so there might be value in limiting yourself altogether in order to purge yourself of those excessive desires, says the Rambam. Kimo shezacharnu, ulehafsed anshei medina gamkein, kasher u shehem nifsadim bepkishatam v'riat maaseihem, and the same thing on a social plane. Generally, the Torah strongly advocates life amongst people, life in society. Much of the Torah can only be implemented within society. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim actually spends quite a bit of time when he's talking about the Ta'amei HaMitzvot in the third section of the Mor Nevuchim, of the Guide for the Perplexed. The Rambam makes a point of saying that whole categories of mitzvot are designed for how society runs, not merely Batei Din, the courts, and the king, and the organizations of society, but even notions of tzedaka la'aniim, of giving charity, of taking care of the less fortunate in society, are implemented, are predicated, rather, on the notion that you're living within a society, you're living amongst other people. But sometimes living amongst other people causes you to not be all you can be. And in those cases, again, the Rambam is trying to emphasize that these were rare cases. People would go off and live in isolation. Ulamakam she'en sham adam ra. Al derech ba'amar ha'navi, mi, this is Yirmiyahu, mi itneni ba'midbar. Who will give me a place of seclusion, a place of security in the desert? For kasher ra'u ha'schalim she'otam ha'chasidim ha'su'el ha'ma'asim lo yadu kavanatam. Chashavum tovot v'kivnu aleihem b'choshvam she'yu kamotam v'hitchilu la'anot gufoteihem b'chol minei shinui. But what happened? What happened? So some people, well-intentioned people, would deprive themselves of certain normal physical pleasures, permitted physical pleasures. And they would do this in order to rectify their imbalance. And then other people saw them doing it. And they thought that this wasn't a reparative, but it was an ideal. You know, it's like what they always tell you: you have to be very careful to keep medicine away from kids, from little kids, because they might think like that's a normal thing to do. Like they see, you know, somebody else taking pills, they think, I'll take pills. I'll let me have some of those pills. I remember when we were kids, we used to have those. You know, those chewable vitamins that like looked like candy and tasted like candy and probably had a lot of sugar in them, and they were in the shape of cartoon characters or something like that. And I remember my sister once like having like a half a bottle of these chewable vitamins because she thought that it was she thought it was candy. No, in other words, medicine is medicine, and you don't take medicine if you don't need it. And on the contrary, if you take medicine when you don't need it, it's liable to make you sick. For somebody that's ill, that needs medicine, the medicine is meant to get them from here, let's fix this. Right? In other words, you're supposed to be here in the middle. Well, let me make that a color everyone can see. You're supposed to be here in the middle. And unfortunately, you're ill. Unfortunately, you're here. So in order to get you here, we're going to give you something like stretching a rubber band that's going to bring you here in the hope that it's going to snap you back. Somebody's has some kind of dietary deficiency. So we give them supplements. We give them supplements in order to boost them up. So everybody else will think, well, if I take that, I'll also be healthy. As you see somebody who's sick and they take this and it's making them well, and I'm already healthy, I'll take it. Alachas kama v'kama. It'll help me get even better than I am already. No, it's not true. It could make you ill. So the Rambam says that's what happened. There, the Hasidim would take on certain practices as reparatives. But then everybody else saw this, and they thought this was the ideal. V'chashvu shehem kanu la'atzmam ma'ala. And they thought that they had acquired for themselves an exceedingly great trait, a value. Vasu tov. V'shebazeh yitkarev ha'adam la'Hashem. And they thought that it was a way to draw closer to Hashem. Kilu Hashem sone et haguf. As if God hated the body. V'rotze lahamito ula'abdo. And God would be like happy for us to kill ourselves. V'heim lo yadu she'elu ha'pu'ulot ra'ot. And they were unaware that these are bad activities. V'shebehem tusag p'chitut mip'chitiyot ha'nefesh. And that through practicing these ascetic traits, they would end up diminishing themselves. They'd end up harming not just their bodies, but their souls. Ve'en mishalam. Let me make this a little bigger so I can see it. Oh, that's better. Ve'en mashalam ela mashal sachal b'melechet harfuah. Right? They're idiots practicing medicine. Shira'ah b'kiyim min harofim shehishku cholim notim lamut samim harifim. In other words, they saw, it's like somebody who sees a doctor giving a very ill patient some kind of very strong drug. Ve'hifsiku mehen hamazon. Or they take the food away from the patient. They make the patient not eat. V'hivriu mechalyam. And they see the patient got better. V'nitzlu min hamavet, atzala gdola. And they were saved from death. So v'amar oto hasachal. So that fool who doesn't know anything but just witnesses this, he says to himself, im otam hadvarim mavriim min hacholi. If taking that drug or following that diet makes a person healthy, kol sheken she'yamidu habari al briyato. So how much more so will it make a healthy person even more healthy? V'hitchil lakachat otam tamid. So this healthy person starts taking this drug or following that diet, v'hit neheg b'hanhagot acholim, and ends up acting like the sick person. Shehu yechaleb lo safek. On the contrary, it doesn't make you healthier. It'll make the healthy person sick. The same medicine which can make the sick person healthy will make the healthy person sick. Kein elu chalei nefeshot heim b'lo safek b'lakcham arfuah al habriut. So the Rambam is making this statement about the error of asceticism. We don't believe in that. Even though there were traditions, there were periods, again, always minorities within the overall Jewish community, there were traditions of asceticism in Judaism, but it was never a mainstream position. It was never a mainstream position, and the Rambam is heartily against it, as you can hear. Not just because it's not the Jewish way. It's not. It smacks of other religions. There are other religions that have a serious ascetic strain to them, who believe in the value of depriving yourself of the pleasures of the world which we are allowed as an ideal. Rambam says that is not the Jewish way. And not only is it not the Jewish way, but it's very dangerous. Because of the metaphor to physical medicine that he spells out, it will have damaging effects on your personality. V'zot haTorah hashlema hamashlemet otanu. This is the perfect and perfecting Torah, which makes us mushlam, which makes us perfect, which makes us whole. Kemo shehid alea yoda. Torah Hashem tamima machkimat peti. Lo zachra davar mize. Vamnam kivna shiyeh adam tivi holech bederech haemtzait. Yochal ma shemutar lo leachol b'shivui. You should eat that which is permitted to you in an equitable kind of way, not too much, not too little, just right. V'yishtem ha'shemutr lo lishtot b'shivui. You should drink what you're allowed to drink in an even-handed way. V'yival mi'shemutr lo liv'ol b'shivui. And even pleasures of the flesh, marital relations. Unlike, let's say, Catholicism, that views marital relations at best as a kind of concession to human nature. That is not the Torah's point of view. That is not the Judaism's point of view. But at the same time, all of these things, eating, drinking, sexual relations, these are all things that the Torah puts very clear guidelines on. We don't believe that there's anything wrong with enjoying the physical world. But at the same time, Kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach, the Rambam quotes for us. In Parshat Kedoshim, the Torah says, Kedoshim tiye, that we have to be holy. And the Ramban, very famously, not the Rambam, the Ramban, Nachmanides, on the Torah, very famously tells us that technically speaking, you could never violate the laws of Kashrut, for example. God forbid you'd ever put anything in your mouth that wasn't kosher. And you wait 6 full hours between eating meat and eating milk. And nevertheless, even though you don't violate anything when it comes to kashrut, you could be what's called, what the Rambam quoting the Gemara, what the Ramban famously calls a naval birshut haTorah. A naval birshut haTorah is technically, let's say, a scoundrel with the Torah's permission. Technically, you don't violate any laws, but at the same time, you're not doing, you're completely missing the spirit of the law. You manage to be a glutton while not violating anything. And sexual propriety, you can also think of things, no technical violations of the law, but yet at the same time, you've completely missed the mark on building a life of holiness. On building a life of holiness. Vehizhir, I'll skip a line or two. Vehizhir mizeh b'mar sheba aleinu ha-kabbalah amar b'nazir. Kabbalah here doesn't mean mysticism. Kabbalah here means the received tradition, the Torah sheba al peh. Amar b'nazir. The nazir, the Nazirite, the nazir is a person who takes a vow, to this is Bamidbar Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Book of Numbers, Chapter 6, if you want to look it up. The Nazir takes a vow that he is going to deprive himself of certain pleasures of the world. He's not going to cut his hair, he's not going to drink wine. If he breaks his vow, he has to bring certain sacrifices. And even if he does it, if he fulfills his vow, if he says, for 30 days I'm going to be a Nazir, and he is a Nazir. At the end of his period of Nazirut, the Torah says, v'chiper alav ma'asher chata al ha-nefesh. He has to bring a korban chatat. He has to bring a sin offering. V'amru v'chial al ze nefesh chata ze? Eze nefesh chata ze? What sin did he do? He takes a vow. The Torah views vows very seriously. If you take a vow, You have an obligation to fulfill it. This person took a vow. He fulfilled the vow. And when he's done having fulfilled the vow, he has to bring a korban chatat. He has to bring a sin offering. Al shamana atzmo min hayayin. Because he withheld himself from a permitted pleasure of the world, in this case, from drinking wine. V'halo dvarim kal v'chomer. So the Torah is very clear that self-deprivation is not our thing. And why is it no good, the Rambam says? But Mesoret Nevi'enu Matikei Toratenu Re'inum Mechavnim El Hashivui. Ve'el shmirat nafshotehem ve'gufotehem. Because our goal is to be mechuvan el hashivui, to be aimed for balance, to be aimed for balance, to be aimed for the middle path, which guards one's soul and guards one's body, the whole package. Kasher techayev haTorah, which is what the Torah obligates us to do. V'hashiv Hashem yitale al yedei nevi'o lemish sha'al al tzom yom echad b'shana ha'im yatmid b'ze olo. V'hu amra lezacharia ha'efke b'chodesh ha'chamishi inazer ka'asher asiti ze kama shanim v'hashivam ki tzamtem v'svod b'chamishi u'v'shvi'i v'ze shivim shana ha'tzom tzamti tzamtuni ani ki tochlu v'ki tishtu halo atem ha'ochlim atem ha'shotim. About the fasts of Tisha B'Av, achar kach tzivam batzedek v'malah bilvad lo betzom hu amru lahem kol ma'ar shem tzvakot le'mor mishpat emet shaftu v'chesed rachamim asu ish et achiv. Even when we talk about fasts, you know, when we talk about fasts, you know, it says about Nineveh in the book of Jonah that when they fasted in order to, because Jonah came and told them that God was going to destroy their city. The book of Jonah, we read on Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur afternoon. It says that God saw their ma'asim. He saw their deeds, their actions, that they had returned to the good. So the fasting, like when we fast, we just had last week Asara B'Tevet, the 10th of Tevet, fast, one of the fasts connected with the cycle of the destruction of the temple. So the fasting is not the goal. It's the means that occasionally the idea of depriving us of food to help us focus on other things, to help us get past our normal daily routine, our daily routines, which are very often very much rooted in this world and physicality, which is the nature of things. But the point being that Hashem isn't looking at the fact that you went 24 hours without eating or drinking. The question is, what were you able to accomplish spiritually, mentally, personally, when you cleared some space away from lunch? You know, lunch takes a lot of energy and time and attention. And like before lunch, we think about what we're going to have for lunch. And while we're having lunch, we're thinking about what we're having for lunch. And after lunch, we're thinking about what did we have for lunch, and then what are we going to have afterwards? And that's the nature of things. We're physical human creatures, but we're also meant to strive to be angels. That's the paradox of who we are. So God says, I'm not so interested in the fact that they didn't eat. I'm interested in the fact that they tried to make themselves better. They tried to make themselves better. So even fasting, per se, is not with the goal of not eating. That's just a means to get to a different end. And the mistake people make, the Rambam says, is they're looking for a quick fix. They're looking for a quick fix. And they're trying to say that they're mixing up the ends and the means. The Rambam says there were Hasidim that would deviate slightly from the center path, from the ideal, as a reparative. And other people turn that into the ideal. So it's true, sometimes we do have to deprive ourselves of pleasures in order to do that act of fine-tuning of the personality. Because the paradox, or maybe the synthesis, of being a spiritual being trapped or not trapped, because that's that word carries a value judgment, embedded within a physical casing that needs to eat and needs to drink and needs to sleep and has all types of other desires. Those desires aren't bad. They're not sinful. They're human. And by definition, they can't be bad because we're human. But you can't let one overpower the other. You can't let the physical silence the spiritual. And you can't let the spiritual negate the physical. You have to find a way to balance them out. And that is the... Now, this has been a sidetrack the Rambam has taken. In the next line, he says, Vashuv el kavanati. I'm going to get back onto my subject. But if we're going to leave off here at this point in the story, it emphasizes the Rambam's very, very holistic approach to the mind-body, spirit-body, psychological reading of the human personality, which he's emphasized again and again and again. So in a few weeks when we pick up again, we'll continue from here, from where he's leaving off. Vashuvel kavanati, back to the question of the activities towards perfecting, repairing, restoring proper balance. But this parenthetical, this long parenthetical excursus in the middle against asceticism is not just out of left field. It's very much in line with everything he's been saying up until now. So we'll pause here and we'll pick up in a couple of weeks. During these 3 weeks of the Bein Hazmanim of Web Yeshiva, there are a number of different one-off classes, some free classes, and some other things. You can check the website for that. And the website also has the new schedule for the upcoming semester of Shiurim and classes and programs at webyeshiva.org. And I hope you'll join us there and sign up both for this, the continuation of this this series, and all the others. So as always, we're just taking a break. We're not ending, of course, but as always, it's a great pleasure and a great zchut to learn with all of you, and I hope we will have the opportunity to continue that. My email should at this point be well known to you. I'm putting it up in the box again. And of course, I'm happy to continue the conversation offline or in the real world if we happen to be in physical proximity to each other over a cup of coffee or something like that. And in the meantime, I will wish you a Shabbat Shalom and hope to see you again soon.